This morning, I was in Glasgow, out of college and out of work. And tonight, I'm in Yorkshire and in a job. I'm very grateful.
Not at all. Do you know, if you hadn't found that infected spot in the mare's hoof, or if you hadn't gone back to that cow after she'd shaken hands, you'd be in Yorkshire but still out of a job.
Well, thank you anyway, Mr. Farnham.
Siegfried's the name.
Siegfried.
A scene from the BBC's All Creatures Great and Small, based on the books by James Herriot, the world's best-loved vet. Herriot's real life wasn't exactly like the story we know. For one thing, his real name was Alf White. He took the name Herriot from a local soccer player. Jim White writes about his father in the biography The Real James Herriot, A Memoir of My Father. White told me his dad's job as assistant veterinarian with Siegfried Farnham wasn't his first. In fact, he learned some unforgettable lessons from an earlier employer, a wise old country vet named Mac.
Farmers had been trying to calve this heifer for several hours and get the calf out, and they couldn't. And Mac sent my dad out to calve the thing, and my father did it in minutes. But he got no thanks from the farmers at all. And he went back to Mac, he's very upset about this. And Mac said, well, you know, they've been on it for hours and you only took minutes. You know, you've made them look a bit silly. Maybe you got it out a bit too quick. And he said, you know, they're paying good money for this sort of thing. You know, don't make things look too easy, he said to my father. And he said, Mac said, he said, I can assure you many times when I've been trying to get calves out of cows, the sweat's been pouring off me holding the bloody things in. So that was a thing that my father never forgot, because he used to tell all the assistants that came through our practice in Thirsk, it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's the important thing.
You found this useful in your own practice in the years since.
We've listened. Life, as you know, is a great learning curve. As my dad said to me, I don't care how many years you've been qualified as a veterinarian, a day never goes by that you learn something fresh, you know. And we certainly learned a lot with Mac.
Yeah. Now, the practice, of course, that everybody knows about is the one with the man who in the books is known as Siegfried Farnan. His real name was Donald Sinclair. Was he like Siegfried at all?
Very much so. Very much so. And James Herriot really portrayed him very accurately, very, very, very well. Siegfried was a very complex character, but above all, he was a likable character. And very difficult at times, as I've said in my book. I think I've been very fair to Siegfried. I've brought out his good points as well as his not-so-good ones. But he's when he died, he's been very, very badly missed. He was one of life's true characters.
Now, there were some of the stories that you tell in your book that that didn't make it into the ones that your father wrote, stories about Siegfried. There was one about some hot bones, if I remember.
Well, you must remember the hot bones, of course, is one that my father told me a long time after his books had been published. And when he told me this story, I said, why do you put that in books, Dad? He said, no, I can't do that. It'll upset Donald far too much. And he would deny it anyway. Donald would have denied it.
Yeah. Can you just tell us the story?
A woman came to have her dog put to sleep, and in those days, when you put the dog to sleep, there was difficulty disposing of the body. Nowadays, everything's fine. We have cremation service, we have refrigeration. Everything's done absolutely correctly. But in those days, the poor little dogs were just picked up and taken by disposal men and chucked on heaps and all sorts of things. There was none of the rules and regulations there are now. And so, what happened was the lady came back after 2 or 3 weeks. She asked what had happened to her little dog, and Donald suddenly appeared and said, oh, he was cremated, madam. And she said, oh, that's fine, because I'd like the ashes. And, of course, he wasn't cremated at all. He was on a heap somewhere. And Donald immediately said, yes, you shall have some. And in those days, Donald kept pigs down at the bottom of the garden, and he used to have an old boiler where they used to boil up swill to feed the pigs. And at the bottom of the boiler, old bones and ash used to collect. And Donald shot down to the bottom of the old garden and with a dustpan and came back with these ashes. And the lady was there with a velvet cloth waiting to put the ashes in. Donald poured the ashes in the cloth. Suddenly the lady threw the cloth in the air. There was smoke, there was fumes all over the room. The ashes were still hot. The little dog had been dead 3 weeks, but his ashes were still hot. But that was typical of Siegfried, that sort of thing.
What was the response of the people in the community once they began to read your father's books? Did they see themselves in the books?
One or two of them did, and very few of them objected. In fact, I don't think any of them objected. Mrs. Pumphrey was a famous character he wrote about, with a little Pekingese called Tricky Woo.
All of a sudden, right out of the blue, Tricky went crack-a-dog, running around in circles, hysterically barking and yelping in the most peculiar fashion. Then suddenly, down he went on his side, just like a dead thing. I was beside myself, Mr. Herriot.
I feel sure you must have been.
And then the next thing, up he gets again, apparently perfectly normal.
I see. And how has he been since?
Fine.
Now, Mrs. Pumphrey was a little bit put out. The real lady called Miss Warner. And she wrote a letter to my father and said, you should be careful, you know, what you say about people and this sort of thing. But in really, she didn't really mind too much because she came over as a very nice lady. Mm-hmm. But that was the only... He just got a little bit of a finger wagging with that one. But most of the farmers that recognised themselves, to be quite honest, they were pleased. They were quite chuffed with the way they'd been portrayed by my dad. Although he was terrified of them finding out. I don't think he need have been so.
Did he have a favourite kind of... a favourite part of the practice? Were there things that he liked better about veterinary practice than others?
He was basically, fundamentally, a large animal farm veterinarian. And his favourite animals, without a doubt, were the cows, was the cattle side of the practice. That was his, what he always used to say, was his bread and butter.
Did you get to go along with him as he was out on his calls?
Oh, I was all over the place with him in the car. In those days, you'd think nothing of doing 9 or 10 or even 12 calls in a morning to farms, maybe another 12 in the afternoon, and plenty at night. This was very exciting for me. Nowadays, vets, we're stuck indoors. We're treating dogs and cats, or we're stuck in places like abattoirs and meat factories and all these sort of things. It's a different life, totally different life. And for kids, it's not as exciting. But for me, driving about the farms, I knew all the farmers, I knew all the kids, play with the kids. I knew which I drove about in the farmers' tractors, used to fight with the kids on the haystacks. Oh, it was a great life. But it's different now. Yeah. My kids, not one of my kids want to be a vet, not one of them. They were bored when they came round with me. It was too clinical. In the old days, it was more adventure.
Do you miss those days? You wish you could go out on a call to a farmer's yard now?
We still do. We still do, but it's the fewer and far between. And the family farms around my... I live in a little village not far from Thirsk here in Yorkshire. And the small family farms are disappearing by the month. They're all going out. And farming is having a terrible time here in the United Kingdom. We've had a very bad time. And we're seeing the farms disappearing. And my father's books, of course, as I tell everybody, that's a way of life that's gone. It's history, both for the veterinarian and the farmer. But I was lucky. I qualified in the 60s, and I got a taste of the life that the vet used to have. It's still a great profession, don't get me wrong. It's a terrific profession, and it has to move with the times. But all professions are changing, aren't they?
Jim White is taking some time off from the practice these days to write. He's the author of The Real James Herriot,